Life is an adventure. What's your story? Radio St. Pete.com Insider welcomes a really funny, talented guy, Ward Smith, producing artistic director for downtown St. Pete's off Central. That provides an up-close and personal theater experience, comedy, and unique plays. Welcome. Tell us all about you.
All about me in 30 seconds or less, right?
That's right.
Well, I am a native. I guess, do I qualify as a native? I was born in Iowa in 1963, and then in the summertime in 1963, and then by that Labor Day, my dad got a job in Tampa. So by 63, the same year I was born, I've been here ever since. So I guess you could call me a native Tampanian, native Floridian, and grew up watching my dad on TV. We were just talking at the Joe before we came on, watching my dad on TV. I thought that everybody he worked with came out of the TV. I thought he knew John Wayne. I thought he knew Bob Hope. I thought he knew the Three Stooges. I thought he knew, you know, Charlie Chaplin. So when I went to the TV station, very much like here, and saw how it worked, and I thought, oh, it was even more mind-blowing. It was like NASA. It was like a spaceship, a control room, and how the cameras worked. And so that kind of got the bug in me for some reason. I thought it would be kind of neat to do something that came out of the TV, because I also noticed when we were out, people would come up to my dad and say, hey, we saw you last night. That was really nice. You know, keep it up. You keep those politicians honest. We, you know, you're part of our family. And they'd walk away, and I'd say, who was that, Dad? He said, I have no idea. And there was always nice. And I said, well, that's kind of cool. They didn't come up and accost you. They just came up and said nice things. It'd be nice to have a job when someone just comes up and says nice things. Hey, I like what you did. That was kind of cool. Was it for some ego gratification or adulation? I don't know. I just saw that as a young kid, thought that was kind of neat that everyone saw him.
And yet your journey took you, you went to, did your last year at Northeast High School, right. And then off to the Army, former USO.
Qualified for absolutely nothing but military deployment.
You told me that you sort of got the bug when you were there, and tell us the story about your drill sergeant.
Well, yeah, there was like, he was the most larger-than-life character, as they all are, and they're easy to imitate. And we all kind of share them. And one afternoon, this is when I was stationed in Germany, I was imitating everybody, and one of those things that, oh, he's behind me, isn't he? You know, what are you doing, Smith? Oh, I'm just kind of just jerking around. You jerk around a lot. You know, you ever thought about doing that, you know, while you're in the Army? I mean, jerking around for a living? So he said, my wife works in the personal affairs office, or the public morale office, and she can deal with entertainers and, you know, weirdos like you. Maybe give her a call. So it kind of worked it out that I got my orders reassigned for 6 months. I went TDY and did Fiddler on the Roof. That was the first show that I directed because I got involved with it because they always need guys. And there were some pretty girls there, too, and it got me out of cleaning toilets and peeling potatoes in my military job. And one of the guys quit. I was just going to be an extra in it. And they said, well, okay, you move up and, well, you can direct. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you says here, you want to study this when you get out of the service. I said, well, yeah, when I get out. I don't know anything about directing a musical right now. Well, you got this person is the music director, that person is the dancing, and you just make sure the actors don't bump into each other. And as a military order, we open in 2 weeks. You know, dismissed.
No pressure.
So it's like, you know, okay, dokie. And I pulled it off, and then did Godspell after that, and then I had a did Mr. Roberts. I had a nice little run while I was in the service, and when I got out, I thought, this is kind of cool. I got out, and then I was going to go to ASU to study theater, and I did a couple shows. I was studying theater, and then I got a chance to do Chorus Line in Summerstock, and so I quit school. And I said, well, why are you quitting school? I said, because I'm going on the road. But you're quitting school. Yes, because I'm going on the road. But you're quitting school. Because I'm going on the road. I mean, so you don't get it? I was majoring in theater, but I'm going on the road. You guys are going to be stuck in class. I'm going on the road to make a living. Bye. And then by that time, around that, this is what, 84 is when I got out of the Army, 85. Then I got into stand-up about the same time. And when I was at ASU, I met this guy, you know, passing students. David Spade was a fellow student. And he told me about, there's this open mic night at this place called Finny Bones. It's in Phoenix. You should, you know, check it out. That's where I hang out. So I went and saw him. He was like almost a professional at that time. So, wow. He was young. He looked like he was, you know, he was right out of kindergarten. His opening line was, hi, my name is David Spade. I'm this many. And he'd hold up, you know, like seven fingers like he was a, you know, a kid. He had preppy little sweaters. So I thought that was kind of neat. I did something similar like that in the USO shows, but it was all Army specific. So I figured out I could probably narrow in on what was kind of general and universally accepted and what was like being out of the Army and adjusting to life, you know. And I started doing open mic nights one after another. It was on Monday nights while I was going to school. And then eventually you audition. The club owner sees you on Monday nights, and eventually you get invited to host a night. Host a week, Wednesday through Sunday, when you have other comics that are on the bill. And all the big comics that were coming up from L.A. at this time, this was now the new road scene that was happening. This was in the 80s. This was yuppie vaudeville was happening. You know, this was the second wave. Everybody who's big right now or huge and considered comedy, you know, icons, I've either picked up at the airport or picked them up off the floor. Because you run into these people on the road. There's great road stories with everybody. And David Spade was one of them when I started out. With him, he got a gig over to go to L.A., and he was working at this club called Seekers, and that was in Scottsdale. And he said, "Hey, can you do this gig? I gotta go. I got another gig." And I went, "Yeah, sure." And I got paid $75 for the week, but I was opening for the great Pat Paulson. Oh, if you remember, there's a name for you. And that's when I told my dad. He didn't think I was legitimate at all. It was a passing phase. He's a serious newsman. When I told him that, "Dad, I'm opening for Pat Paulson." He said, "You mean the man who ran for president, Pat Paulson? From the Smothers Brothers, Pat Paulson?" I said, "Yeah, and you're not in Las Vegas." "No, this is in Phoenix, Dad. I'm opening for Max Seekers in Scottsdale." "Well, I'm very proud of you." And I actually got a picture and sent it to my daddy, actually. And then he kind of believed what I was doing. And, okay, that's fine.
Well, and you know, it's amazing. I mean, listen, I'm going to brag on you for a little bit. I mean, you've been in over 50 stage productions. You're a member of SAG-AFTRA. We can see you in streaming episodes of Zoo, Nashville, Let's Stay Together, Burn Notice, Army-wise, MacGyver. You do look like MacGyver. And The Right Stuff. And you've been a touring stand-up comedian. And listen, I'm going to say the word improv. You know, that's big. It's just big. I mean, punchlines, improv, funny bones. You know,
those are the circuit that was back in the day. You know, see that when that club exploded.
Bud Friedman.
Yeah, when there was a circuit. You know, and Silver Friedman, when they got divorced, she kept the club, the Improvisation, in New York, and that's when I moved out to New York after Phoenix. That's where everyone would meet at the Improvisation. All the comics, you had a club. There's a guy named Dennis Ross who would book clubs in New Jersey and upstate New York and whatnot, and all the comics would meet there, and all three of us say, "Who are you going out? We're going to the Wappingers Falls gig, or we're going to the Avon Park, New Jersey gig, or whatever." And then that's where you meet these guys. "And what's your name?" "My name's Chris." "It was Chris Rock." "Or my name's Colin Quinn." "Or my name's Lance Crowther." "Or how you? I'm Larry Klein." "Oh, nice to meet you." I mean, all these guys, for the first time, they're all getting road gigs, and we're all probably getting $75 a night a set doing these things. And if you work three nights a week, plus whatever waiting gig you have, waiting table gig, you can survive.
Hyphenate,
right? Yeah, you can survive in New York, and that's how we got along that way. And at the improv at those places, and then eventually there was a circuit that picked up.
So, what brought you back to one, St. Pete, and two, to as a passion project and also as a very successful business, start the Off Central Players?
Well, it was to condense, you know, 30 years together. Coming back, I traveled around, first got married here, then moved out to Houston. We moved out to Texas. My first wife was in radio, and Nancy Alexander was her name, and she's the mother of my children. So, and then we were in radio together, and that's where I met, because while I was on the road doing stand-up, I would come back, and one of my stand-up partners, Dan Chapelow, God rest his soul, he would pop up on Q105 back in the days and do comedy bits. And so he said, "Hey, I know Hugh Smith's son, and maybe we can get Hugh Smith to do some funny bits on the radio, or I can get, you know, 'Good evening, I'm Hugh Smith. That's a very lovely fur-lined jockstrap you're wearing,' and get him to say some really goofy stuff and that would be dropped on the radio." And so I did some bits on the radio, and, you know, that was kind of great. And I thought that was nice because I could get off the road and still be funny. And then they were offering me the ungodly sum of $12 an hour. This is back in 1988, $12 an hour to do part-time. I'm like, "Are you kidding me? From 6 to 10, $12 an hour, and I can go home and not be on the road? This is kind of interesting." Nancy was doing traffic at that time, and she's a funny lady, very funny lady. And so we just kind of hit it off, and she's being, you know, like-minded goofball. And so when, you know, we got married, and we weren't even married, it seemed like 30 days, when Cleveland Wheeler, a radio guy, he got called out to go to Houston. And he said, you want to go with me? So Nancy was flying in the sky doing traffic at the time. So this is the job that got her out of the airplane into the co-host seat. And then we all trucked up and moved to Nashville, moved to Houston, as it were. And I was still doing stand-up out there. And that's where I met a great guy named Bill Hicks, if you ever heard of the great Bill Hicks. And wonderful guy, Ralphie May. All these guys that were coming through, Bernie Mac. All these guys were starting to still come through. This is 88, 89. And then 90, 92 we started. And then we moved back. Houston kind of wore pretty thin. We came back to work for Nancy's family business. Her sister had a surgical business. Getting out of the business for a while. We had a little baby at the time. We both could work.
Now all grown up.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're 30 and 26. So we figured we'd, you know, just come back and get out of the business for a little bit. And then kept back in. Nancy got back into radio. I kept getting into it. I got back into advertising. I was writing and producing advertising stuff. And still doing stand-up. And still, you never forget your first love. And so I'm still doing stand-up all these years. And then started to do some theater again as the kids got a little, was able to get back out and wasn't going on the road that much anymore at all. And the acting that I was doing at the local theater I was doing, my sister would come over and see me. And she said, you know, you got to find something in St. Pete. I was doing a lot of work in Tampa at this time, job site and the Heather and Stage Works and whatnot, great theater places. And she's got to find something in St. Pete. And I'm getting tired of driving over the bridge. I said, okay, just find something in St. Pete. Just find a property in St. Pete. And Mom will make the costumes and we'll sell popcorn at halftime. And just Judy Garland can come and Mickey Rooney. And she said, don't be a smartass. I'm serious. We can try and do something. And this was now during the pandemic. And sure, we could find a building, let's say, but it was going to cost alarm and elect to outfit. I didn't know the first thing about equipment or who to call and consult. We need light grid, and this is, you know, a huge, huge project. Lo and behold, there was an acting studio, Andy Matheny. God bless you, Andy. Mm-hmm. Andy Matheny's acting studio is on First Avenue South, and I had been there a couple times attending classes there and kind of just relished how, wow, this is a cool place. They had seats, they had lights. This is kind of a neat setup. And that's, didn't even think about it at all. I'm passing by there one afternoon, and then I see a for sale sign during the pandemic. And if you know the local legend, Eugenie Bondaron.
Right, she's been on air with us.
Yeah, she would teach there. And I was on the way to her house to get put on tape. She puts actors on tape for film on television. And to some success, I've gotten jobs because she does quality audition work. So she helps out a lot of us actors, God bless her. And so I figured if anyone knows the scoop of what's going on with this building, she could probably provide. I didn't know that Andy owned it. I didn't know what was happening. So I thought maybe it was being sold from under them. And pandemic was kind of, you know, kind of the death knell. They said no. They were looking to move. Pandemic was just kind of pushed. They wanted to sell the house. They wanted to sell the business. They were looking to get out of town. So, it was perfect timing. Called my sister up. And I don't know if I told you about this. The Best of Times, it was the Tale of Two Siblings that my sister wrote on our blog at the website about how when it came about, I called her and I said, hey, I think I stood right in Eugenie's living room and I said, you know, I think this opportunity with this theater has come to happen. And this time her husband, Danny, was dying of Alzheimer's. He was in hospice. And I said, we can always find another building. We can keep looking. You just take care of Danny. She says, no, see what you can find out about it. Maybe we can take a look at it. And that was on a Saturday. On a Sunday, we took a look at it, and then we made an offer, and then Monday we closed on it. And then, boom, here we are. We just closed our 22nd show in 3 years, and that was with Lone Star Lager and Bourbon.
And coming up now is the comedy series, right. And also this weekend, Please Don't Tell My Kids, yeah, with Francine Wolfe. And I hear she's a volunteer and a writer.
So. Yeah, she's we exist. I like to exist and have local artists. And I want to feature local artists to get a showcase that they don't often get a chance to present. Or, you know, there's a lot of red tape and a lot of, you know, bureaucracy they have to go through to get the original work up. So Francine volunteered for us for many, many shows. And she had put the show together. She'd written the show with a friend of hers. And they were going to do it over at Stageworks. They got the cues up into something called Q Lab. It's a a high-tech little piece of equipment that us theater folks use to put cues into motion and make magic. And they're all ready to go. Pandemic hit. She got set back a little bit. She did this a couple times at some fringe festivals, but this is the first time that we're helping her realize it all with some sound and some lights and some production values. And it should be a three-day thing. And if what kind of results it'll happen, maybe we can incorporate it in our season coming up.
April 26th, 27th, and 28th.
Yep.
Okay. And that is at 2260 Central Avenue. I want to talk about the comedy series coming up. And you have a Comedy Chops. You've got this going on May 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th at 8:30.
Yep.
Hosted by Ward Smith.
And I get out of the way. I turn it over to, I got every Saturday night, three different comics. So it's a different show every Saturday night. I'm going to be doing a different set every so. I got a new 20 minutes, a new 5 minutes every Saturday night for me. You can count on that. Or I might be playing the hits. I don't know. But I've got some of my friends that I've known all these comics for a good part of 25 years, and they've been on the road, and they've been doing the same thing I have, or if not more, for the same amount of time from here to L.A. I've got Jay Legend. I got Tim the Dairy Farmer. I've got Trish Keating. I've got Bill Oshie. I've got a lot of great comics that you've known from every comedy club around town, probably from Sarasota to Pensacola. If you've been out and about, you've probably seen these comics. And you can go to offcentral.com and get more information.
Absolutely. And so then I just want to touch on one more thing. There's so much to talk about. And really, listen, you need to go to Facebook. You need to know what's going on at Off Central. You can see it on the Let's Go Guide. You have an education program.
Mm-hmm.
You are a 501c3 nonprofit professional arts organization. And you do provide instruction, development, and theatrical storytelling. And I know Katie Callahan is your education program director. Alice Summer Camp, folks, sign up online.
She did. We met yesterday. We have one spot left for that Big Break Youth Day. So you can reach out to me at wardsmith@theoffcentralplayers.org, and I can get you in contact with Big Break Youth Stage.
And Puss in Boots will be the showcase June 21st and June 22nd.
Fun fact, that's an original piece by local playwright Bill Levengood.
The cat's out of the bag.
There it is, so to speak, right? That's an original musical by Bill Levengood, and it's an adorable script the kids are doing, and that's going to be part of the summer program. They start in June, and they're going to meet 9 to 2 in the space, and they meet there on Saturdays, actually not every day, and from like Monday through Saturday. And then when they're final, is the realized production of Puss in Boots. So that'll be interesting. We've done several other Bill Levengood original works as well there.
Well, laugh it up with Ward Smith at Off Central. Ward, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget the comedy showcases May 4th, 11th, 18th, 25th, 8:30. Ward, we can't wait to see what you have up your sleeve next.
Thank you very much. It'll be a surprise to me, too.